7 o'clock by Longines, world's most honored watch, a Longines Whitnauer product. WLOL, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Because of the special broadcast that follows, the program originally scheduled for this time will not be heard. The Mutual Broadcasting System joins with millions of others in paying tribute to Babe Ruth.
This is Bert Lytell. Today, the world of baseball is saying goodbye to Babe Ruth. Some of the men who knew him best are going to try to tell you what Babe meant to them. Last night, he died as he'd lived for 53 years, with a boyish smile on his lips. He'll never really be gone from our lives or yours. But just as baseball is a symbol of American life, Babe Ruth was the living symbol of baseball. He was more than just a star performer going through his paces for an audience, more than just a hero of a packed stadium. He was the spirit of baseball. Babe Ruth needed no glamorizing. He wore his fame like a coat that never really fitted him. And on formal occasions, he was like a small boy trying to act grown up for company. He was the kind of fellow you love for his little faults as much as for his virtues. Yesterday, Babe went with a smile to answer the call of the great umpire. Here are some of his friends to say Godspeed. First, we're going to hear from the president of the American League, a man who knew Babe Ruth intimately, who was connected with the Babe's career during his lifetime, Mr. William Harridge.
There is no question in my mind that Babe Ruth was the single greatest figure and personality in the history of baseball. I'm glad that I can pay this tribute to him and pay tribute to that great spirit and courage which the Babe displayed so many years on the diamond and which he showed throughout his long illness. That courage and spirit will live on always in a glorious Ruth Legion that will always be a part of our national game and be an inspiration to youth forever. Every baseball fan is familiar with the Babe's great playing record. From the moment he entered the American League in 1914 and down through the years of his stardom with the Yankees and in 10 World Series, Ruth was destined for greatness. He fulfilled that destiny, but more than that, he carved for himself an undying place in baseball by his many acts of kindness and thoughtfulness toward the boys who are themselves the very foundation of our national sport. It was the largeness of that Ruth heart that endeared him to everyone. It was that Ruth heart and spirit that forever will be remembered as long as baseball is played. All of us are saddened by the passing of the Babe, but to only a few, such as Babe Ruth, is granted the privilege of leaving the great heritage that he has left all time to baseball.
And now the president of the National League, the league which in so many World Series felt the power of Babe Ruth's bat. The league which Ruth was in competition with for so many years, but which nevertheless respected him as one of the greatest ball players of all time. And here is Mr. Ford Frick.
Very hard for me to know what to say about Babe. I've known him through so many years, through so many good times and so many bad times. He was always so alive, so alert, so on his toes, always smiling. Never in my life did I see him when he wasn't smiling, when he wasn't happy, when he wasn't having a pretty good time, when he wasn't living a pretty decent sort of a life. Great fellow, the Babe. Somehow, as I sit here now, about the only thing I can think about if you would pardon is a poem I read some years ago, and I've three or four lines of it, a voice sort of stuck in my mind, and it went something like this. About all that can be said of a man when he is dead is that he was loved by children and was loyal to his friends. And to me, that epitomizes Babe Ruth pretty much. He was loved by children. He was loved by adults, too. And in a baseball way, he was the best. He was the tops. Did more for our game, and while he was doing it, did more for the youngsters, did more for Americans, and more for America than a great many men who were perhaps certainly better educated, perhaps better known, and came from higher positions. He was my good friend, was the Babe. We're going to miss him a lot. Thank you.
The story of Babe Ruth's beginnings is so well known it doesn't need repeating.
And the sorrow of sorrow is that the Babe was prepared to meet his maker, the same as he was always prepared to meet his opponents on the baseball diamond. We shall pay our final tribute to the Babe on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock when a memorial mass for the repose of his soul will be attended by all, regardless of race, color, or creed. We know that this will please the babe, since he loved children so much. May the Lord have mercy on his soul. And goodbye, babe.
And now a word from Mel Allen, Mutual's World Series broadcaster.
You know, I didn't know Babe Ruth when he was a player, not personally. I knew him like the millions of fans did and worshipped him like all the kids in my neighborhood did. I dreamed of the day when I could see the Babe play. And one summer, when I was just about 13, I traveled from my home in Alabama then to visit my grandparents in Detroit, and soon the Yankees came to town. It didn't take too much persuasion to get my father to take me to the Tiger Park, which was then known as Navin Field. My heart pounded inside with the realization that I was to see the Babe in action. And then I prayed that he would hit a home run that day so that I would have something among my memories that I could cherish forever. But came the ninth inning and the Babe had not hit a home run, and it didn't appear that he would have that chance, for the Tigers had a 5-run lead and Babe had been at bat in the eighth. And the Babe didn't figure too strongly on his getting another time at bat either, because I saw him do something that only the Babe could do. He came in from the outfield at the end of the eighth inning and went right by the Yankee dugout over to the Detroit dugout where the clubhouse runway was then located. But instead of going inside, he stopped and sat down on the Detroit bench while his teammates were batting in the top of the ninth. That was not allowed, of course, but the Babe was different. Even the Tigers got a kick out of it. Only the Babe could get away with something like that. The big fella sat there joshing the Tigers when suddenly the Yankees began to rally, and before you knew it, the Babe had to get up off the Tiger bench, go back to the Yankee dugout, put his glove down, get his bat. His turn was coming up after all. The Babe stepped to the plate and with runners on the bases, slammed a line drive over the center field fence at its deepest point. The Yankees scored 6 runs to win the game, and the Babe laughed heartily while giving it the inimitable Ruthian trot around the bases. That was the Babe. Years later, I got to know him personally while broadcasting Yankee games. Many a time I accompanied him on appearances at high school sports affairs and other baseball gatherings with the kids whom he held so dear. Always he talked about kids, how much he'd like to be able to do for them. He really loved them. It was great to be around the big guy. It was tough being around him when his health began to fail. I had the privilege of introducing him at the Yankee Stadium in 1947 when Babe Ruth Day was celebrated throughout the baseball world. And the ear-splitting ovation given him by the thousands was something I shall never forget. And the tan, top-coated, graying Babe thanked the throng in his now husky voice. And the old-timers, with the lumps in their throats looking on that day, guys like Ty Cobb and Tris Speaker, and other baseball greats of the past were there to honor the greatest of them all. And the ailing Babe was proud and happy. A fabulous fellow whose hold on everyone was magical and majestic, he was the king of swats, the king of diamonds, the Babe. A few weeks ago at Yankee Stadium, I saw Babe for the last time. His uniform number 3 was to be retired forever in tribute to the Bambino. Many of his former Yankee teammates were there for the historic occasion. By now, the Babe was failing fast, but he beat back the pain that racked his body and appeared in the house that Ruth built for one more time. When William Harridge made the official retirement of the Babe's number and uniform, the crowd roared its acclamation of baseball's greatest hero. And while they were doing it, I walked over to the Babe and asked if he wished to say anything. His voice now was almost completely gone, and the Babe whispered, "Yes, I must." And then he stepped to the microphone at the Yankee Stadium and thanked the fans for the way they felt about him. A gaunt but gallant guy, thrilled by the roar of the crowd. The crowd thrilled and choked up by the sight of the man whose equal the world of sports will never again see. The Babe was deeply touched and whispered his appreciation. There wasn't a dry eye anywhere. I'm sure there isn't now.
Now back to Bert Lytell in New York.
Baseball has brought us many colorful personalities who have long been associated with the national pastime. They won the respect of their opponents as well as the love of the fans. One of these is the president and owner of the Washington Yankees. I mean the Senators. Mr. Clark Griffith. For many years, Mr. Griffith watched the career of Babe Ruth. Indeed, at one time, he was so awed by the tremendous power
of all time, and I think Babe Ruth will forever stand out in front of all of them. I don't know of any player, we've had a lot that were greater in the field, maybe, but none that played the game with a better, truer heart. And he was always a team player, played baseball to win. And he was always great with the kiddies and everybody that come for autographs. In fact, he was become the idol of all the children of this country. The last time I saw Babe Ruth
was in Orlando last spring. I had he and his party for lunch. At that time, I sat along beside of him, and I just had to marvel at the still courage that he showed in trying to carry on. He was just about on his last legs, you might say. In fact, I think he realized that it wasn't so very long to go, but he didn't. He still tried to be cheerful and talk to me about the great ball players of the past. He said to me, "Griff, we've seen them all, haven't we?" And I said, "Yes, Ruth, babe, we've seen them all, and I've never seen one that was better than you, and I don't believe that we'll ever have one that'll be better than you."
Well, I hope Mr. Griffith will pardon me for referring to the Senators as the Yankees, but when I speak of Babe, I always speak of the Yankees. Now we're going to hear Babe at play. It'd be nice for us to remember the Babe doing something that he loved almost as much as baseball, and that was hunting. So we have here a record of the Babe himself talking with Dave Driscoll on a quail hunt at the Forked River in New Jersey, December the 10th, 1937.
Babe, you've been ramming around all morning. You were out even before we were. We were trying to get this broadcast set up, and we heard you banging away over in the woods. And we saw you come back with your share, at least. That's not the limit, but how did you find hunting conditions out in the woods?
Well, I'll tell you, it's just like this. The early bird gets the worm. And I love worms.
Well, I want to say one thing to you, babe. You were the first man up this morning, and while we were all sitting around last night looking at the pictures that you and Bob Edge and Jack Matthews took up in Nova Scotia, the movies, we didn't get to bed until pretty late, but you were right up on the job this morning and out here in the woods before we were even out of bed. How does this stack up with Nova Scotia?
Well, I tell you, it was very good. In Nova Scotia, we had to do a lot more work. Work was harder, but down here, it just seems the dogs are working so well that we got nice shots. Fair shots. We didn't take advantage of the bird. We let him get far away as far as we could, and then let him have it.
Well, you didn't see any moose out here, did you?
Now, the only moose I saw here was Jack Matthews.
You must have run into a twig. I see a little blood on your cheek. I think you rammed yourself into a limb.
During the time that the Babe was terrorizing opposing pitchers with his thundering bat, one of them, a left-handed pitcher by the name of Tom Zachary, became immortal. Now, Zachary's a fine pitcher in his own right, but he became immortal on the 30th of September, 1927, when, with a man on base in the Yankee Stadium, Zachary threw a fastball which Ruth slammed into the right field stands for his never-equaled record-breaking 60th home run of the season. Well, here's what Tom Zachary thought of the Babe.
I knew Babe Ruth as long ago as 1919. I pitched against him for 10 years, and he was a fine ball player, a tough hitter for any pitcher, one of the greatest team players, one of the best liked players that ever played baseball. I happened to be the pitcher that he hit his 60th home run off of. Of course, I don't like to brag about that. Anyway, he did. Later, I played with him for 3 years, and you really got to play as a fellow to know how good he is and what a great fellow he is. And he is one of the best fellows with kids that I have ever seen. One time I asked him how he could look like he'd break him down to all the kids. He says, "Oh, that's a pleasure to me." And I think it was. Thank you.
Tonight we've heard the words of a number of important people telling how much Babe Ruth meant to them and how much he meant to the game. All those words are useless compared to an incident that happened only yesterday. On August 12th, 11-year-old Peter Bunch walked the baseball team of all time. Now here he is, Wade Hoyt.
I have been asked to speak of Babe Ruth in a light vein. To do so will, of course, be contrary to my inner feelings because, as I, a former teammate and friend, feel Babe's loss very keenly. But on the other hand, I am sure Babe had a very happy life. I am sure his was a full life. I am sure he helped make life a little happier and more complete for baseball fans and baseball players. The stories about Ruth will be told down through the years, and it was my privilege to share in some of those anecdotes. I believe my favorite is about the time the Yankees were playing the Chicago White Sox in Chicago. Herb Pinnock, the great left-hander, was hooked up in a pitcher's battle with Mike Sabengrus, the White Sox southpaw. The game went by the 9 innings into overtime. It so happened the Yankees were to catch a 7:30 train for New York immediately following the game. There was dressing and packing and taxi rides to the station to be accomplished between the game's end and train time. But the game would not end. 10, 11, 12 innings, and still Sven Gross and Pennock battled. The last of the 12th was over. The Yankees were due at bat in the 13th inning when Mark Roth, the Yankee secretary, suddenly appeared on the players' bench and said to manager Miller Huggins, "Hug, if the game doesn't end this inning, we'll miss our train. What'll we do?" Babe Ruth was just picking up a bat. He happened to overhear Mark Roth's plea. Ruth gave out with that loud guffaw and bawled, "Oh, don't worry, Mark, old kid. We'll make that train." Ruth, first at bat, hits the Sven Gross first pitch into the right field seats for the game-winning home run. Pennock held the White Sox in the last of the 13th, and the Yankees did make the train. Ruth was as colorful off the field as he was on. During the 1933 World Series, Washington against the New York Giants, the Babe went to Washington as a sports reporter. President Roosevelt was serving his first year in office. Babe and other gentlemen of the press were invited to the White House. Once there, President Roosevelt was mighty cordial and made a point of relating to Ruth how they had met before. Babe, the president said, "Remember we met at Binghamton, New York in October of 1920? I was running for vice president on the same ticket with Governor Cox. Our train arrived at Binghamton simultaneously with yours. There were some 10,000 people down there at the station." President Roosevelt smiled and went on. "When our touring party reached the hotel suite, I turned to Governor Cox and I said, 'Governor, wasn't that wonderful? Think of that big crowd at the station to greet us.' And the governor's secretary answered, saying, 'Mr. Roosevelt, I'm terribly sorry, but you know, I must tell you, those people were not down at the station to greet you. Babe Ruth is playing an exhibition game in town today, and all those people were there to greet the great baseball player.' And when President Roosevelt finished the tale, he slapped his knee and he said, 'Ha! Oh, wasn't that funny, Babe? Remember that?' And Babe, very innocently, flirted, 'Ah, Prez, that happens all the time.' Yes, all of us will miss Babe Ruth. Players, the fans, public officials, the whole nation. But the stories of that magnetic man will live on forever. What a player, and what a man. Now back to Mr. Bert Lytell in New York.
And now, fitting tribute to Babe Ruth from the Commissioner of Baseball, Albert B. Chandler.
Ladies and gentlemen, the people of the country have been greatly saddened by the death of Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was one of those great baseball characters that will always live in the hearts and minds of the people of this country. Personally, I feel that I have lost a friend because I have known the Babe for a great many years. I first saw him at Boston when he was a great baseball player and I was a college boy. Later, I watched his flaming spirit and great bat cut a swath across the American diamonds that made him just the hero of millions of people. Babe was a fellow with a great fighting heart. The people of the country will remember always that he was a fellow that always stayed in the game and fought it out until the very end. I was present at some of the great games that the Babe played. I was in the stands in Chicago in 1934 when he hit the home run off Charlie Root and, as some say, pointed to the fence before he did it. I'm not certain that he pointed, but I am certain that he hit the ball over the fence. I saw him later on numerous occasions, who learned to play the game most beloved by his people and became a national hero. I feel that now with Walter Johnson and all the others, Gehrig and all of the others, standing on the ramparts of Valhalla, Babe will cheer us on as we build a new generation of young Americans who will seek earnestly to match the feats of the great Babe and who will follow him always as their great inspiration.
And now, we are going to the house that Ruth built. The Yankee Stadium, where 70,000 people sat many an afternoon cheering hoarsely for the Babe. The Yankee Stadium, which Babe Ruth so often heard break forth in a pandemonium of cheers, and which now houses Babe Ruth's body.
This is Bob Emmerich speaking to you from Yankee Stadium. It seems strange standing here at this great stadium, where the lifeblood stems from the very jubilance of the thousands of baseball fans, that this sports stage could ever be quite so quiet as it is tonight. We are witnessing here tonight perhaps the greatest homage ever paid a national hero. That is what the Babe is, was, and will continue to be in that Valhalla of sports world greatness. The Babe made his last march to the stadium this afternoon at 4 p.m. He climbs in a beautiful mahogany or walnut casket directly behind home plate, about 125 feet away in the rotunda. I am standing at approximately the, just outside the press gate, approximately 50 feet away from the casket, very close to the line of people as they file by. As I stand here, hundreds and thousands of people are walking by me, single file, and it seems rather strange that when they're here to witness a game, what a noisy place it is. But tonight, voices are just above what I am talking now, and mostly silence is reigning. A cordon of policemen are New York's finest, are standing here keeping everything in order, but I don't believe people are need any necessary discipline tonight. The funeral services will be held for the babe in the St. Patrick's Cathedral next Thursday. The body will remain here for the loving fans to watch, come in and observe until 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Eastern Daylight Time. It seems that even the weather is bowing well for us tonight. Even the moon is smiling, the sky is clear. It, too, is paying homage to the people. Ladies and gentlemen, what impresses me most, and what I also would impress you, is that this great stadium, the Ruthian triumph of the past, now pays tribute with silence.
The Ave Maria was sung by Joseph Connolly from St. Vincent School, New York City. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.